Without the help of the police agent or undercover man, the task of the CIB in its ceaseless war against crime would be doubly difficult. An anonymous letter, a whispered voice over the telephone, a surreptitious signal in the street, they all provide the tips which give hard-working detectives many a vital lead. Tonight's story deals with a gang of lawbreakers who were brought to justice by the work and by the amazing courage of such an agent, Enrico Drago.
Sergeant Chester here.
Who?
Oh, Enrico Drago to see me. All right, send him in. Oh, I wonder what our little Czechoslovakian's got for me this time. Come in.
Good morning, Sergeant Chester.
Good morning, Drago. Sit down.
Thank you. Are you very busy, Sergeant?
Well, not as busy as I'd like to be.
Perhaps you could be quite busy tonight.
Well, for Pete's sake, Enrico, drop that air of continental mystery you like to cloak yourself with. Oh, I can see you've got something for me. What is it?
Molly Frame.
Molly Frame, eh? Mm-hmm. Yes, we've been trying to get something on Molly for quite a while now. We know that she peddles sly grog and drugs.
Drugs have not yet managed to locate, although give me time, Sergeant Chester, and I shall bud the liquor. Ah, yes. I know where it is secreted.
Where?
In her residential, right in the heart of the city.
Drago, if I didn't know you so well, I'd say you'd made a mistake. We've raided that place half a dozen times. We've never been able to find the stuff.
I have.
Well, come on, man. Where does she keep it?
Please, Sergeant, you must permit me to tell my own story in my own way.
Oh, you Europeans. Okay, let's have it.
Sergeant Chester, when I first came to this country, I visited a music hall.
A vaudeville show?
Yes, a vaudeville show. And I well remember an amusing little song called There Are Fairies at the Bottom of My Garden.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Drago, what are fairies at the bottom of the garden got to do with Molly Frame?
There are bottles at the bottom of her garden.
Huh?
Behind Molly Frame's apartment. Oh, what a lovely garden she has. Such beautiful asters, phlox, zinnias and petunias.
Oh,
lovely, beautiful. It's a wonder that they grow so well, seeing that the soil beneath them is only a foot or so deep.
You mean that?
Beneath the flower beds are cellars that contain many, many bottles of what you are looking for.
Yes, that was where Molly kept her supply of sly grog. It wasn't her idea, of course. It had been the inspiration of Molly's gentleman friend, known unfavorably to the police as Big Boy. Big Boy paid the rent and collected the profits. Profits that weren't quite so large after he'd paid Molly's substantial fine.
Yeah. I'll get that copper, Chester. If it's the last thing I do.
Well, I still don't see how he knew where the stuff was planted, Big Boy.
Yeah.
The night he raided the joint, he went straight into the garden and told his blokes to start digging.
You don't know how he knew? Well, I'll tell you how he knew. He was flaming well tipped off.
Tipped off?
Yeah.
You don't think Jim Reese or Frank?
Nah, not them. They haven't been with me long. I trust them as much as I trust anybody.
Big Boy, you ain't thinking that it was me?
If I thought that, you wouldn't be here today, Molly. No. I've got a pretty shrewd idea who did it.
Who?
Yeah, that little foreign joker who gave evidence. What's his name again?
You mean Drago? Enrico Drago?
Yeah, that's him. Somehow he must have found out about the plant in the garden. You must have got careless or something.
No, honest, Big Boy, I wasn't. I crossed my heart.
Shut up, will you? It's over and done with now. It's the future I'm thinking of. You know, I don't know who I hate most, Chester or Drago. But I'm working out an idea to get both of them where I want him.
Big Boy's idea was to take out a writ for £1,000 against Sergeant Chester, alleging assault and defamation. And this just because the sergeant had mentioned in court that the Big Boy was tied up with Molly Frame and her crooked doings.
If I could get this Drago bloke to, sort of change his mind about the evidence he gave, Chester wouldn't have a leg to stand on. I'd get me £1,000 verdict against him.
What makes you think Chester has £1,000 or anything like it?
I don't care if he hasn't got a zack. That's all the better. If he can't pay me the dough, he'll be kicked out of the force. See?
Yeah. Yeah, I get your idea, Big Boy.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good. Except for one thing.
Yeah? And what's that, you Jonah?
How are you going to get Enrico Drago to change his mind?
Oh, I've thought of that, too. Open the door, Molly, and give Jimmy Reese a yell.
Okay. Hi, Jimmy! Come here! The Big Boy wants you.
Coming, Molly.
Yeah, that's what I like. Boys who snap to attention when I want them. Sit down, Jimmy. I want to talk with you.
Yeah?
You know this character, Enrico Drago, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, I often see him round.
Find out where he lives.
Aye, blimey, that's a toughie to ask a man in a big joint like Sydney.
You heard me, Jimmy. Find out where Drago lives.
It took Jimmy Reese a fortnight, but he finally discovered that Drago had a room in a city boarding house. He reported this to Big Boy, who set about putting his plan into action.
Hi there.
Oh.
Mr. Drago, isn't it?
That's right, but I don't think I have the pleasure.
Reese is the name. Jimmy Reese. Sorry to barge in on you like this, but the landlord said I was to share with you.
Share with me?
Yes, this is a two-bedroom and only one's taken. Hope you don't mind.
Not at all. I enjoy having company.
Yeah, me too. I'm a pretty sociable fellow myself, and I don't know many people in Sydney. Now, Melbourne or Adelaide, they're different. I know plenty down there. Oh, feel like a drink, Mr. Drago?
Well,
oh, come on. I bought these bottles specially.
Oh.
I thought I might have to sweeten you up a bit, but I can see now that's not necessary. I know a nice bloke when I see one.
I am a nice bloke?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Jimmy. It's very nice of you to think so. Yes, I will join you in a little drink.
Enrico Drago, a naturally friendly little man, and one who was rather lonely in a new, strange country, hadn't the slightest idea that Jimmy Reese had been planted on him by Big Boy. For Jimmy had only been associated with the Big Boy for a short time and had been kept well in the background. Even the police knew nothing about him. As their friendship grew, Drago asked Jimmy if he'd like to work for the police.
You mean join the force?
Oh, no, Jimmy. Not officially, that is. But the work of a special agent can be quite exciting.
Yeah, I'd like that, Enrico. But how would I land a job like that? I don't know any cops, and they don't know me.
I would be delighted to vouch for you, Jimmy.
You mean you're in with them?
Yes, for some time now. When I first arrived in Sydney from my homeland, that is Czechoslovakia, I was lonely in a new, strange country. I found it difficult to get work here. Fortunately, I'm a good linguist.
That means talking other languages, doesn't it?
Yes. So, I became an agent for your police.
Well, what do you know? And you're such an innocent-looking little guy.
Jim, the police does not cloak himself in a mantle of intrigue or an air of mystery. Although, my friend Chester seems to think I do.
Chester? Who's he?
Sergeant Chester of the CRB. I will speak to him about you, Jimmy.
Oh, well, thanks, Enrico. I'd like that. Oh, mind you, I don't expect to start off on a big murder case.
Oh, there are other crimes apart from murder, Jimmy. Smaller crimes like sly grog selling and others not so small like drugs.
Sly grog, eh? Listen, I know of a couple of sly grog shops that could be knocked off.
Listen, so the boy's enthusiasm already is a little Sherlock Holmes. But if you do know of any sly grog, Jimmy, then I feel sure you will be of much use to my friend Sergeant Chester.
The next day, Enrico Drago called at the police station and said he had a possibly useful new agent called Jim Rees. Sergeant Chester made a note of that name, Jim Rees, late of Adelaide and Melbourne. And while that meeting was taking place, there was another one between Jimmy Rees and the big boy.
He fell for it.
Yeah. Hook, line, and sinker. Even for the letter I dropped on the floor, sort of accidentally on purpose line. He picks it up. He hands it to me with that funny little foreign bow of his, and he says, you dropped a letter, Jimmy. That's how he talks. So I told him he could read it. It's from a mate, I said. He's throwing a party. Nice girls and a good time.
Jimmy, I should know what was in that letter. I wrote it. The point is, did he fall for it?
Like I said, hook, line, and sinker. It's on any time you're ready.
We'll make it Wednesday night, Jimmy. I'll supply the car. You'll know it because there'll be a jazz cap on the radiator. Frank will be driving. After he's picked you and Drago up, you're led for Cabramatta.
Okay, big boy.
Sit down.
Hey?
We haven't finished yet.
Oh, sorry.
I'll be following you in another car. In fact, I may even get to Cabramatta before you do. And when we do get there, all of us, do you know what's going to happen?
I can guess.
I'm going to see if we can't persuade Mr. Enrico Drago to change his tune.
Wednesday night came, and so did the car that Drago and his new friend Jimmy were expecting, the car to take them to a party.
That's you, Frank?
Sure. Who are you expecting, Mussolini? Hop in, Jimmy.
Yeah. Come on, Rico. Frank, I'd like you to meet a mate of mine, Enrico Drago. Pretty good bloke.
How are you, Enrico?
Very well, thank you, Frank. I always feel good when anyone calls me a good bloke. It's a phrase of your Australian slang that I understand and appreciate.
Yeah. Well, let's get going, Frank. Can't keep the Sheilas waiting, can we?
They drove along Parramatta Road, talking about the party they were going to. Jimmy and Frank noticed, but Enrico didn't, the bigger car that flashed past them. The car that contained the menacing figure of the big boy. Near Cabramatta, Frank turned up a back lane and stopped near the shadow of some trees.
Well, here we are, Enrico. This is it.
Here? Sure. That we get. Blast. Must have dropped me matches somewhere. You got a light, Enrico? Oh,
but of course, Frank, right here in my pocket.
You got the cow. There's nothing like a bike chain to make a bloke lose interest, is there?
Here, help me get him back in the car. Right. Big boy's waiting for him.
Right.
When Enrico Drago recovered consciousness, he found himself stripped down to his underwear and chained to the bed he was lying on. Standing around him were three men in black masks.
He's coming out of it, huh? Good. Can you hear me, Drago?
Yes. Just who are you?
Never mind who I am. We know who you are, you dirty rat. And we're going to make sure you never work for the police no more. And to show you we mean business, cop this.
My turn now. Hey, you two, say something for me. Something like this.
Yeah, it's enough, you two. We don't want to kill a little cow. He's going to do us a little favor. Aren't you, Drago?
What do you want of me?
Remember that evidence you gave in court against Molly Frame?
Molly Frame? I don't know what...
Help him remember, one of you. That sly grog case against Molly Frame. Remember it now, Drago?
Yes. I remember.
Yeah, I thought you would. Well, you were all wrong, you know. What you said about Molly and her friends was all a big mistake.
Mistake? I don't think so.
You will, Drago. You will. We want you to write three little letters. One to Molly, one to a solicitor, and one to the chief of police. Nice short little letters, admitting you were wrong.
But it was not wrong. What I said was true.
Listen, Drago. Are you going to write them letters or not?
No.
Okay, I can wait. I'll enjoy the waiting more than you will, Drago. Hop in, him, boys.
For six long, almost unendurable days, that torture of Enrico, police agent, continued. His three captors tried to show him just how tough they were, but the little Czechoslovakian was even tougher.
You are just wasting your time. I shall never write those letters that you want me to.
We'll see about that. Up into him again, you two.
But even such a courageous little man as Enrico Drago couldn't hold out forever against the inhuman treatment of the gang. After being flogged unmercifully with a bicycle chain until his resistance collapsed, he finally wrote the letters dictated to him. Frank was sent to Brisbane to post these letters, and Drago was moved to Molly Frame's place in the city. There, the big boy started on the second leg of his campaign against Sergeant Chester.
Now, we want you to do something else for us, Drago. You've signed statements that your evidence was crooked, but that's not enough.
Not enough.
No. I want to get something else on Chester, something really big. I'd like a little statement from you saying that Chester was mixed up in the drug traffic himself.
It was an outrageous charge to lay against Sergeant Chester. But the moment that it was made, Enrico Drago's clever brain began to work. He looked up at Big Boy and laughed.
Did I say something funny, mug?
My friend, you don't know how near to the truth you are.
Hmm? What? You mean that Chester is in the dope racket?
To a certain extent, yes.
Truth?
Naturally, he doesn't peddle it himself, but he does get money for allowing others to do so.
You mean... Chester cops a rake off?
That, I believe, is the expression.
Hey, why are you spilling this, Drago? I thought Chester was a mate of yours.
I'll tell you why. Because Chester apparently hasn't bothered his head to find me all this week. He must know that I'm missing from my hotel. Yet, what has he done about it?
That's right, He left you for dead, hasn't he?
Yeah.
A nice mate he turned out to be.
Yes, I've finished with him forever.
Ah. Then you'll sign another statement about what you just told me.
What is there in it for me?
I've got a little farm up in the country. Oh, nice little place. It'll just suit you. If you write a letter to the police commissioner saying that Chester was mixed up in the drug game himself, the farm is yours. What do you say?
I'll do more than write this note. I can produce a witness.
You mean someone else knows?
Yes. A very good friend of mine, Jean Lemaire.
Who's she?
Jean Lemaire's a man. He conducts a hairdressing establishment in the city.
How does he know about Chester?
Jean was with me one night when we saw money being passed to him. We both recognize the man who paid as a drug peddler.
Oh, well, what do you know? looks like I'll be able to pin something very, very tasty on Mr. Flamin' Sergeant Chester.
Enrico Drago was able to persuade Big Boy to accompany him to Jean Lemaire's hairdressing salon in the city. Right away, Drago began to talk rapidly.
Hey, cut that out and talk English. What were you saying to him?
I was merely asking Jean to substantiate my story that Sergeant Chester has been receiving payments from drug peddlers.
Right away, Jean Lemaire sensed that his friend's amazing charge against Chester was being made under duress, and he quickly fell into the character expected of him.
Sir Chester? He's a greater criminal than many he arrests.
And you and I know it, eh, Jean?
Mais oui.
My friend here wishes for our evidence to bring about Sergeant Chester's downfall. You will combine with me, Jean?
Oh, but of course, Enrico. Ah, it will be a pleasure.
Good.
I have the same feelings for Sergeant Chester as you have.
Thank you, Jean. I knew that you would understand and help me.
If you two will both make a statement, that'll fix Chester good and proper.
But of course I am willing to sign such a statement.
Yeah. Now?
Now?
Not here. This place is too conspicuous. Any moment a policeman might look in and see us together.
Haven't you got a back room where we can go into Lemaire?
Oui, but alas, it is occupied at the moment. My wife is very close to expecting our first little one, and she is so self-conscious, you understand?
Perhaps Jean could visit us this evening.
Yeah, maybe that would be better and safer. You can come to Molly's joint.
Jean Lemaire was given the address of Molly Frame's boarding house, and after promising to call that evening at 8, he bowed his visitors out of the salon. But the moment they'd gone, he hurried to the CIB and to Sergeant Chester.
So that's why Drago's been out of circulation all the week. I'd begun to worry about him, Lemaire. I thought he'd run out on his job.
That Enrico would never do, Sergeant. That Enrico is a very brave man. He is brave enough to be a Frenchman.
So the big boy wants to get me tied up in a drug scandal, eh? That's a hot one. And one that I never expected. How did Drago look?
Monsieur Chester, did you see on the newsreels how Max Schmeling looked after the redoubtable Joe Louis had knocked him out?
Yeah?
That was poor Enrico. Only much worse.
A swine. Well, I'm very grateful for what you told me, Lemaire. By the way, when's the baby due?
The baby?
Yes, you mentioned you couldn't take Big Boy into your back room because your wife was expecting a baby.
Oh, Monsieur Chester, it is true that there is a Madame Lemaire, but a baby? No, Madame and I have only been married 6 weeks.
Sergeant Chester made his plans carefully. That evening, promptly at 8, Jean Lemaire went to Molly Frame's house, apparently alone.
Who is it?
I am Jean Lemaire. I've come to see my friend Enrico Drago.
Yeah. Say, you alone, Lemaire?
But of course. Naturally, I would have been charmed to bring my beautiful wife with me for the walk, but the little one is to be expected any day now.
Yeah.
Understand?
Yeah, sure. All right, well, cut the cackling and come in.
Enrico is here?
He's in the back room. This way.
But Enrico Drago wasn't the only one in the back room. When the big boy entered it, he was immediately arrested by the police. Charged with conspiracy to pervert the course of justice, Big Boy, Molly Frame, Jim Reese, and Frank all appeared in court. The moment that the trial was over, Sergeant Chester paid a visit to Enrico Drago, still recovering from the tortures that had been inflicted upon him.
Well, it's all over, Enrico.
What happened, Sergeant?
Big Boy got 2 years hard labor.
2 years? Isn't this little enough? And the others?
Well, Molly Frame got off on a bond, and so did the other two men. But Big Boy was the important one. Thanks to you, we've got him.
Then you think that I'm a good agent, Sergeant?
You're a very good agent, Enrico. And what's more, you're a heck of a nice bloke.
That was what I hoped you would say about me, Sergeant. And I thank you, as from one fairly dinkum Aussie to another.
Yes, in his own way, Enrico Drago had served the course of justice just as bravely and as faithfully as any member of the CIB.